Praise the name of Jesus. Not too many today, but it's okay. I guess I'll be probably preaching to radio too. You know, Jesus is an awesome God. We're living in a day and age where we need more of each other, more of God, because we're coming into a time. The devil is raging. The devil is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we are not prepared, and if we do not dig into the word of Almighty God, we will be hit. So it's so very important to go into the word of God and to study, to show yourself that you are approved. Can you please put that verse up there, Joe? It's 1 Joel, it's 2 Timothy 2:15, and leave it up there. To show yourself that you are approved of God. Approved of what? That God approves of you. To show what God thinks of you and me. To have to study. Not because of him, it's because of us. We need to know how God sees you and me. That we do not need to be ashamed. If you are a child of God this morning, if you have turned to Jesus for salvation, always remember God thinks highly of you because he has purchased you with the precious blood of Jesus and made you one with him. There is no difference. His spirit is within you. You are perfect in the eyes of God. He does not see your sin, even though we do sin. But Lord, the Lord knows who is behind all this. Our spirit has been made perfect with him. Because it says, show yourself to be as needed not, that you don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to realize that we are in a day and age where the word of God is neglected, where governments and despots, they tread the word of God down. But we as Christians, we lift up the word of God because it's our only hope. When we read through the Old Testament, God reminded me this morning in the night to show you something. When God took the children of Israel, out of Egypt, he took them through the route to the Red Sea. He wouldn't have had to go through the Red Sea. There was another route he could have, but he did not bypass that. He had a reason for that. He knows that Egyptians, they worshipped the sea god. They figured, God will be destroyed there. Always remember, God fights for you and for me. He took it through the Red Sea. They were totally caved in. There was no way out. There was no hope. They cried out to Moses for help, and God says, "Holy, stand back and see the salvation of God." Always remember, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He's the one that fights for you. And if you are struggling this morning that you're really saved, or that the devil is bombarding you that you're not really saved or born again, don't believe a word he's saying. That's why it says very clearly to study the word of God, what you really are. You are a child of God. God will fight for you no matter what. He will leave everything behind in your behalf, in my behalf, because he loves you, because he gave his life for you and for me. That's why he went to the cruel cross, to set you totally and completely free from all sin and iniquity. What the devil had in mind to destroy you this morning, whatever he had in mind to bring us down to nothing, Jesus said, no way. I am going to go down and I will save them and forgive them their sins and their iniquities. And I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. I will write my laws into their hearts and into their minds. And I will forgive them everything. That is our God. That is the God we're serving. You don't have to despair. You don't have to worry about it. You are forgiven before God. You are a child of a king, a great king. And someday he is coming back to get us out of this mess. Hold on, don't give up, don't despair, don't listen to what the devil has said to you. The word of God is very clear what we are. We are a child of God. We're born again by his spirit. Jesus lives within you. And before I get into this message, the one I really want to show us what really God looks at us, how we are, let's rise up and ask the Lord for blessing. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for your word because it will never fail. It's always there for our correction, for our guidance, for our uplifting. Lord Jesus, thank you. You will bless this message. Bless my lips, Lord, that you will speak through me. Bless those that are hearing, Lord God, and you will bless everything that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus, when he went through, when we read through the Psalms, I will start with Psalms 89, where King David wrote it down, pinned it by the power of the Holy Ghost. God showed it to him, even though it mentions David, but there is another David that we have to look on. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David. We'll read in Psalms 89, starting with verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Those that are God's, those that are born again, you will rejoice. Your heart rejoices. Think of what Jesus did for you on the cross to bring us out of Egypt. Justice in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. That's the way God sees you. We are exalted because we are in his favor. That's why he saved you and me. He does not see anything in you. I find no fault in him, he says. He is mine. He's washed. He washed you and me through his precious blood. And when the blood of Jesus Christ washed you through, there is no stain there. Everything has been wiped away. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou speakest in vision to the whole, to thy Holy One, and says, now he's speaking of Jesus here. That's his prophecy here, he says. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. God has chosen Jesus when he was born into this world, out of all the people of Israel, because he was born a Jew. He was, but still the Son of God in the Spirit. He chose him to do what? Bring us back to our Father. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. When he walked the word, when he walked the face of this world, when he was here for 33 years, nothing can withstand him. No despot could kill him because they tried their darnest to get rid of him all through his life until the time came when he says, it's done. I will let myself go. Now it's time for the Gentiles and for the devil to take me. Because his purpose was to die for you and for me. It says, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not except upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Although he tried his darnest to afflict him, even though he did, but he could not kill him until he said, I lay my life down, nobody takes my life. Even though God sacrificed his son on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, for our freedom, for our peace that we're enjoying this day, even the peace of the land, it was because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Everything was laid upon him, everything that we can imagine, all the sin that we'll ever commit and ever will commit was laid upon Jesus. Because when he hung on the cross, he had an appointment with the devil and the enemy. And he said, come, we have an appointment. That's where I am going to destroy you, devil. That's where I'm going to take authority over your sin and your authority over humankind. Because it's going to finish today. And he finished it. And he gave his life there for us. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Imagine, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And he always mentioned that, even at the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though he had to go through this, he says, I will also make him my firstborn. He's talking about Jesus, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. When God makes a covenant, he will never break it. When he tells you and have told you that you are his child, when he told you that you are born again, he meant it. He just didn't say a word. He just didn't mince words. He means it, and he will never take it back. He said, you are mine. You are mine forever. He doesn't change. Nor will he alter the thing that is going out of his mouth. He will keep it for you because he's the one that is able to keep you from falling. His seed, now he's talking about us here. We are his seed, that the offspring where Jesus saved us. He said, his seed also will I make to endure forever. Who keeps you? Who keeps you and me when it comes to our salvation? It's Jesus. We don't have the power within us to do it, because Jesus did it, because he loves you. He is your keeper of your soul, because he's the one that died for you. And he's going to just entrust him. Don't make a mistake. You can trust him, and he will keep you. Don't worry. Sometimes you will despair. All you have to say, Lord, help. Because his promises are true and amen in him. There is no alterity, there is no fault in it. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now if his children, that's how God operates with us, his children now. His children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. If you fall into sin, if you fall into temptations, if you fall into some sort of something that went out of the way, God does not hate you. He loves you the same way as he did when he saved you. He will never alter that. You always will be loved. He will correct you. You are as a child, you as parents, when your children don't do right, you will correct them. That's the way God our Father does. He will correct you, and he will bring you back to where you're supposed to be. Always remember, he will chastise you. Sometimes it hurts. I've been through this. Don't you kid yourself. But God is very merciful. He does that because he wants to be partaker of his righteousness. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is known out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before him. What is his seed? What is he talking about when he's calling a seed? The Spirit of the living God, when you were born again, is the seed. And I will prove that in the Word of God. Once that seed is within you, once the Spirit of the living God is in with you, you cannot sin. And if that, we will turn to 1 John 3:9, and I'll show you the scripture there, what God means by this. First John 3:9, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because of what? Because he is born of God. Even though, sure, we make mistakes, even though we fall into sin, that's nothing what it's talking about. Your spirit man cannot sin against God because it's perfect, it's one with God. You will make mistakes. I make mistakes. That's not what it's talking about. You are passed from death unto life. Jesus saved you, and his spirit is within you. That's where his seed became one in you. That's when you become born again, and then you cannot sin. You are his forever, and he will not change it. Let's turn to Romans 4. Romans Romans 4 and verse 6, 7, 8, where Paul the apostle, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. And if you're trying to earn this, if you're trying to earn that salvation, you cannot. There is no way. You cannot earn it. It's a gift that God has given you and me. But to him that worketh not, but reckoneth, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly. I think I'll be, whatever, it doesn't matter. Ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Could you imagine when God sees you, he knows that we are but flesh. He does not see your sin. You are totally righteous before you. I always remember I was thinking, and I kind of questioned God when Abraham, all the mistakes he made, it never mentions it in the Word of God where God says, ah, you're a sinner. The reason why he never mentions it, Abraham repented, and God did not see that sin anymore. It's not recorded. And when there is no sin, there is no record of it. That's the way God sees you and me. You are perfect in the eyes of God. God has forgiven you everything. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus, and that's it. Because we have put on Christ. That's where the word Christian comes from. It's the word Christ. You are a Christ one. You got to remember, when God does something, when he does something, he does it for real. He doesn't play around. He means it with all his heart. And that's the way we are. And there's another in closing. Let's turn to Romans 8. Very precious verse. Verses 1 and 9. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. If God says you are not condemned, you have passed from death unto life, there is no condemnation in you. Nobody can condemn you before God. Because why? There is no condemnation to them which are in where? In church? In the colony? In religion? No. Those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what he's saying, those who walk not after the Spirit, after the flesh, those that are born again. Once you're born again, you are not in the flesh anymore. You are born again by his Spirit. And that's as true as the Word of God can bring it. You are not condemned. God does not condemn you, because on the cross he took care of that condemnation that always was on us. He took it away, nailed it to his cross, and set you and me totally and completely free. But in verses 9 it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is talking to the child of God here. He's talking to those that are born again. Once you are in Jesus, you are in the Spirit. You are born again. You are his child. There is no condemnation, and that never will there. You will stand before God pure and holy because of what he did on the cross of Calvary. Young people, always remember, when you will stand before your God, you will stand by yourself. Your parents will not be there to say this was a good child. No, it's only you and God. That's why when you're young and tender, search out the Scriptures. Go into the Word of God. Seek the Lord while he can be found, because there a time will come when it will be harder. But now is the time. Now is the accepted time to awake out of sleep, is to turn to Jesus for salvation, because he's coming back soon, and he loves you and me, and he will keep you and me, because he's the only one that can keep us. No one else can. So thank you, and may the Lord bless you and make you a blessing.